I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic. Eye on the Hill, 2019, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
You know, Dave, I don't need to tell you this. When it comes to change, there's always winners and there's always losers. Utah lawmakers announcing big changes in store for how they collect the taxes that we pay. So Dave and I wanted to break down the winners and the losers.
Yeah, I love talking about this because everyone gets so fired up about it. Anytime there is change, we hate it. Initial reaction is always, I hate it. You got to win me over. So that's part of it. Let's figure out what we love.
First, let's learn more from KSL Television.
State lawmakers are facing some criticism over a proposal for a $75 million tax break. Now, a tax break sounds good, right? But critics worry that the plan would hurt some of the lower income families. Because to make up for that difference, there would be increased taxes in other areas, including groceries and gas. Members of the state's tax reform task force say they're trying to strike a careful balance while protecting the basis for the state's general fund.
I think it's a very balanced approach, and that makes it difficult because people can pick out bits and pieces they don't like in it, so they want to change that, but we have to be very careful in the balancing.
Well, lawmakers still have a number of hearings before they finalize the plan, including one next week.
I think the big key here is to figure out what is sustainable tax collection, right? Because you've got to nickel and dime us to death. You have to. It's the only way tax collection works. If you just look at me, Debbie, and say at the end of the year, I need you to write me out a $500 check, I'm going to fight you. So you got to get me a little bit at a time throughout the year.
All right, you may have something there. The nickel and dime approach does work, especially when it comes to my savings.
Yeah.
If I save $2 a day automatically, it sure feels
a
lot
nothing.
Better
right.
than having, you know, $60 a month go right in all at once into a separate emergency fund. Okay, so Dave is a winner on this one. So the latest proposal would reportedly save the average Utah family $400 in their income tax. Here's how it breaks down. A family of four earning $60,000 a year would see an estimated $400 back in their income tax. So Dave, does that make you feel better? I mean, you're a family of, like, it feels like 18 sometimes, but I know it's really six. So let's say that works out to be $500 a year extra back in your pocket.
That's great. I doubt I will see it. I doubt I will notice it.
Why? Where does it go?
I can't keep track of all the numbers. I can't keep track of it. The thing is, when you're talking about a tax break and what you get back at the end of the year, the taxes are confusing. Am I getting a $400 check at the end of the year? No, I'm not. I'm getting a tax break. I'm getting it rolled into something else. So, yeah, the idea of getting 400 extra bucks sounds great, but the reality is I'm not getting a check that I can cash that has $400 on it.
So why did we need tax reform to begin with and such a sweeping tax reform? Well, it's because we were running out of money. We were not, as a state, collecting taxes to keep up with the times. They were basing a lot of it on sales tax or on, you know, certain areas where they were running low. And so they needed to sort of reallocate how they were doing taxes. And they did it in a very sweeping way. They made the announcement within the last few days. And Dave and I wanted to delve more into it on the show here because we think it's important for your pocketbook. Proposed services to be taxed. There's a lot of talk about this. Remember, we were talking about what services. Will my haircut be taxed? It's not taxed now. I'm going to have to pay taxes on it. Vet services will be taxed. Newspaper publishing. Ooh, don't tell the Deseret News. Taxis, limousines, ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft, which is a little bit of a bummer. I don't want to see more taxes on that. I took Uber a lot this weekend. Scenic and sightseeing tours. You got photography. Sports and recreation instruction. So, Dave, if you teach kids how to swing a bat and you
charge them taxes on that,
$40 an hour, you're going to assess You're going to pay taxes on this, but you're going to assess a tax and then have to turn it over to the state if you're running those in those lessons. You've got tutoring that'll be taxed, motor vehicle towing, parking lots and garages. That's a pain.
So, I'm going to be honest. I had no idea these things were not being taxed.
How would you not know a parking lot at $20 even was not being taxed?
Because sometimes I'll go buy a hamburger and they've factored it and they're just like $5.
They've already factored it in
because it's so difficult to pull out the change and it's time consuming. So a lot of these places, I just assumed, oh, it's factored into the price.
Shipping and handling will become taxable. How about streaming services, Dave? You have all the streaming services. If it's now taxed, will that be a deal breaker for you? Will it actually go in and do an audit and cancel some of those streaming services I know you never use?
You know I will never cancel anything. If I have a subscription in my name, I'm going to carry on to that forever, for the rest of my life. Does it change my behavior? No, it doesn't. I'll adapt.
Where's my haircut in this list, Andrew? I see this list that we've got here in front of me on these tax services. Andrew's going to go dig through the story archive and find out if my haircut will be taxed. I feel like I get a great deal on it, and I love the gal that cuts my hair.
But you're not going to pay the extra $3.
Yeah, no, I am going to pay the extra $3, but we've had this conversation, and here's where it falls on her now. She's got to do all the paperwork for it, where she didn't have to do it before. And she wasn't too thrilled about that. In fact, I was the one that broke the news to her. Part of the problem was that lawmakers were kind of doing this behind the scenes for quite a while, and nobody really knew that much about the fact that they were considering these tax, a reallocation of the way they were doing taxes. So they are holding public hearings. As usual, I've got a little bit of a problem with it, Dave. All of them are in the late afternoon before most people get off work. The first one, it seems, will start tomorrow at 4:30. Yep, it's the 22nd on Capitol Hill. There's one on the 7th of November at 4 o'clock on Capitol Hill. There's also one on the 21st at 5 o'clock. Where are they getting out to rural Utah? We're going to have a lawmaker on the line next and ask him if they can expand those public hearings. Maybe they already have, and we just need an update on that. So let's get that lawmaker on the line. Senator Todd Weiler going to talk to us about this tax reform proposal. We're also going to talk about this, how it's going to hurt you at the grocery store. You already feel like a loser at the grocery store. Trust me, because I'm right there beside you in the line every single week. You want to feel like a bigger loser? Wait till you hear how much taxes are going to go up on groceries.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
The study of terrible driving cities is out in Salt Lake City at number 6.
And he talks about the news.
It's a free-for-all.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Eye on the Hill, Dave. 2019 special coverage with David Dujanovic.
Utah lawmakers announcing some big changes in store for how they collect our taxes. So if you love the idea of paying more at the grocery store, you're in luck.
Who doesn't?
Oh, I just so want to pay more at the grocery store. Please pick me. Yep. They're going to increase the grocery tax right around 3%.
Stop trying to avoid paying your fair share, Deb. Come on. Open up that wallet.
Oh, you missed my window, Dave. I don't have a big family at home anymore.
Hey, why do we want to increase the grocery tax? We're going to address that. Doing the math on how much extra it's going to cost at the check stand. And Debbie, we're going to take those phone calls, 801-575-7668. How do you feel about tax and food?
We've got a live interview on the line waiting as well, Senator Todd Weiler. We're going to get to him in just a moment because I want to get his take on a grocery tax. Let's talk about the math first because we're so good at doing it here on the show. We pull out the iPhone calculator and we start adding and subtracting. Average family spends about $6,000 a year on groceries. Dave, are you an average family?
Yeah.
About 6, yeah,
500 bucks a month. That's
is
about
that your
right.
Budget? Mm-hmm. It feels about right to me too. A 3% jump would equal about $180 a year. Does that break the Noriega piggy bank?
Not at all. Not even within the phone call distance. This is not the same zip code. This is barely on the same continent. $180. If I'm spending $6,000, $180 does not mean whether Dave Noriega's family eats or not.
When my kids were in their awesome years, and what I mean by awesome years are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and 10, you know, just before they get to be preteen, we were spending about $500 a month as well on groceries. Sometimes when I wasn't coupon shopping, it could jump up to $600. So when I did the math and I realized it was going to be about $200 more a year for me back in the day, I realized that's 2 weeks worth of groceries for every Utah family. And that's where it really got me. Right in the heart, Dave. I would absolutely budget to a T our grocery budget. And if I knew I was going to lose 2 weeks a year worth of groceries, that would have bummed me out. But it will help raise $250 million for the state tax coffers. So, and it also, in my book, raises a lot of money from people we aren't collecting from at the grocery store right now, which is the out-of-staters and all your skiers who shop at my Smith's in the wintertime. You clutter the aisles, and guess what? Now you're going to have to pay your fair share in grocery taxes.
Joining us now on the line is Senator, State Senator Todd Weiler. Thank you so much for joining us, Senator. And, you know, this is one of those hot topics. The grocery store tax, the food tax is something that a lot of people get angry about because they think that it hurts the people that are struggling the most.
Yeah, so we already tax food. And as Debbie mentioned, it's a 3% increase because there's already a 1.75% sales tax on unprepared food. And that's how it's been in the last decade or so. And, you know, first of all, I wasn't on this this committee. This isn't my proposal. And I'm listening to my constituents. I've been getting emails all weekend, and I haven't taken a position on it. But I just want to point out a couple of things. So first of all, this proposal is about a 10% reduction in income tax. I mean, this is not just a tax on food, an increased tax on food. It's also taking, giving a tax credit for Social Security retirement income, which is something I've been working on for about 6 years. We're one of only 15 states that taxes Social Security income, and that's a double taxation. It also creates a grocery tax credit for low and middle income residents that will more than offset the increased, you know, tax on food. And it also expands the Utah dependent exemption. Under the Trump tax cut a year and a half ago, a lot of families found that they lost their dependent exemption. So we partially restored that last year. That cost us about $30 million. This will fully restore that. So there's a lot of perks in there. The average family in Utah will see about a $400 tax savings, even though the proposal is to increase the tax on food.
So will it be a net gain for Utah families then? Or will it be a loss for Utah families?
Well, it depends. It depends on your spending patterns. But a family of four earning $60,000 a year would be estimated to save $400 a year under this. And that's not one time; it's ongoing because of the income tax.
And the income tax credit is up to what, $150 a person?
That
you could possibly file for. On food.
There's a credit for the low to middle income residents, but the income tax cut is for everyone. And then there's kind of a grocery tax credit for low and middle income residents. So, yeah.
I just wanted to clarify really quick on when it comes to the grocery tax, it's 1.75% right now. That's what we're paying for. Would it raise to 3%? Or would it be 3 in addition?
It would
so it'd be to, like 4.75.
Go to 4.85. So Okay. If you look at your receipt, Dave, if you buy like Tide with bleach, you're already paying 4.85, and then if you buy a cucumber, you're going to pay the 1.75. So we're going to restore it. What we did was a decade ago, we cut it just for the prepared foods. We're going to restore it to where it historically was. And let me just ask you guys, and I'm not trying to be cute, but are the poor better off today than they were 10 years ago or 12 years ago? Because I'm not seeing it. Because we cut this tax to help the poor. I haven't seen anybody say, well, look at how much better they are off now 10 years later since we did that. And in reality, when we cut that sales tax on food to help the poor, we cut it for you two, we cut it for Mitt Romney, we cut it for John Huntsman, we cut it for everybody, and that's actually given us less money to help the poor as a state, and that's what we found. It's also hurt education.
But Senator Wyler, I'd ask you, are you out asking low-income families that? Because I can tell you I was downright broke 30 years ago, downright broke,
yeah.
Couldn't afford food. But you asked me that today, and I'm not going to be able to offer you the same perspective that I would have been able to offer you when I was in my mid to early 20s.
Well,
so are you asking?
I'm very
people?
Sensitive to that. That's why this built in that tax credit that would just target those poor families. And like you said, it's about $150 a piece.
Are you getting the word out to the public? Because these meetings look like they were at 4 o'clock in the afternoon up on Capitol Hill. That doesn't.
Yeah, so we've already had 12 meetings, and that was to gather input. And then this is the committee that I'm not on, but there will be at least three more meetings. Like I said, this proposal just came out Friday. I've been receiving emails all weekend. I'll probably hold a town hall in Bountiful with my local House members and get some more feedback. And I'm still digging into it myself because I didn't see this before Friday.
This seems like one of the more fair ways to tax people is you find something that everybody uses and you just add a little bit of a tax on there. The thing I like about that, it seems like everybody pays a little bit instead of just focusing on certain groups.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we found is when we go into recession, people stop buying new cars and new boats and fancy, whatever, but they still go and buy their, potatoes and sour cream at Smith's. And so we've kind of lost that stabilizing influence, especially during recessions. And that's really, we've really felt that as a state. And, what this whole package is, and this is a very complicated package. You guys are focusing on the sales tax on food, and that's fine. That's kind of the headline there. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring our tax system in alignment with our economy. Our economy's changed a lot over the last 30 to 40 years, and we're out of alignment now. So this is going to expand the taxes on some services that used to be taxed. Like if you used, Dave, when you and I were kids, we would, rent movies or buy DVDs for our CDs for our music. Today, my kids are streaming it, and so we've lost that tax revenue. So one of the things that this would do is it would capture those streaming, that concept, and you'd have a sales tax on that streaming audio and video as well to kind of replace that difference from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, careful. Don't touch my subscriptions. I know you're going to, but holy cow, I got so many. I'm going to get taxed into poverty. But anyway, thank you, Senator Todd Wyler, for joining us. The question we have is, how do you feel about a grocery store tax? 4.85%. That's what you're going to pay for all your fruits and your vegetables and your milk.
And you're okay with it?
I love it.
What?
I'm totally down with it. I'm totally fine with it. Let us know what you think. 801-575-7668. Hang on. We're back in 3 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic. Eye on the Hill, 2019 special coverage with David Dujanovic.
Oh, we got our eye on the hill, all right. We've got our eyes on a grocery tax increase. Food tax going up from 1% and some odd to almost 5%. It's a 3% increase in the food tax. Dave's okay with it.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. This is what I love about taxes. They pay for all the good stuff, guys. Taxes pay for all the stuff that you love. You want those potholes filled? Taxes. You want police force? Taxes. You want education? Taxes. Right? We can't get around it. So this is what I want to do. When it comes to taxes, I want everyone to be taxed. I want everyone to have some skin in the game. And everyone eats food, so let's tax it. Everyone drives cars, right? Let's tax it.
If you missed the last segment, we had a live interview with State Senator Todd Wyler. We're talking about how much of an increase it would mean, how much extra would be going out the door at the grocery store. If you're like me, you're already bugged that you have to buy $100 worth of groceries every week. Well, that's going to go up. It's going to be a 3% bump. Actually, the average American family spends about $6,000 a year on groceries. That sounded about right to both Dave and I. He's got a family of six. I raised a family of five. That included my husband. Raised him, too.
Fed him every day.
Oh, Dave. Oh, cooking every single day. A 3% bump would equal about 2 weeks' worth of groceries. That's how I figured it. And I was the one doing all the grocery shopping and all the grocery budgeting and all the coupon clipping. So it would equal out to be about 2 weeks worth of groceries is what that would cost me at the grocery store.
I hate your math. First of all, let me just put that out there. I hate your math. Yeah, it is. It's a couple $100 extra at the end of the year. But the thing is, it's not, hey, you owe me $200 at the end of the year. It's, if you're going to spend $100, now you're going to spend $103. Well, that's something we can afford. You can afford $103. If you can afford $100, you can afford $103. You can figure that out. And that's why I think the tax is effective. Because right now and for the past decade, when they reduced the tax down to 1.75%, which is what you've been paying for the past 10 years, the fact is the people that can't afford it, the Dave Noriegas of the world and the Debbie DeChanoviks and the Mitt Romneys, because we're all basically in the same tax bracket.
Speak for yourself.
No. We're trust me. We're definitely in the same tax bracket. Anyway, we're giving them the tax break as well when they don't need it. Now, there are some people that do. I don't say that lightly. Of course, there are people that are struggling to feed their families.
Low-income families under the plan, under the proposal that the legislature's come up with after discussing it for the better part of this year, they will be eligible for a grocery tax credit. Works out to be right around maybe up to $150 per person. Andrew Hull, our producer, jumping in studio with us. We put this question on Facebook this morning. I just wanted to know what our listeners felt. What are our KSL News Radio Facebook users, how do they feel about a grocery tax increase?
Yeah, we asked listeners, would you support a tax cut if it meant raising the tax on food? And we got about 500 votes, Debbie. 24% saying yes, they would support that tax cut if it meant raising the tax on food, while 76% say no.
Why am I losing this argument? I don't know why I'm losing this argument, but Debbie, I have for the past 6 months.
Make a better argument.
I don't know how. It's as good an argument as I have. I guess I'm just shocked that people think that $3 a week makes that much of a difference. I think they're losing the forest through the trees. They're focusing on the number you're saying, which is a couple $100 of the year, instead of saying it's going to raise $250 million for the state.
You know what's curious to me? It really is all about the spin. When you say $3 a week extra out of my pocket, I think that is no big deal. Dave Noriega makes complete sense. But when I do my math and I realize it's going to be about $200 a year extra that I'm going to have to pay at the grocery store if I'm still raising my family, three kids, a husband, I ate two once in a while, it would cost me 2 weeks worth of groceries. I hate that. I don't like that. I want those 2 weeks worth of groceries back because I work really hard to, you know, whittle down my grocery budget. I mean, I really think, Dave, of all the things that kind of went in terms of when our finances got choked back in the, you know, Great Recession, the grocery budget was the first thing I went after. It's like, how can I cut this more and more and more and make it leaner? I mean, can we do no meat chili? Can we do no meat tacos?
Gross.
Can we do, never have a steak in our home for the next year or two? When I was worried about where our 401k was going and that we needed to save more money and figure out a way to sort of keep our family from going broke along with the economy.
Yeah, I remember when you said, oh, I make a $3 chili. And I said, stop it. You're not making chili for $3. And you broke it down and you showed me how you can make a $3 chili. I'm not saying that I would like it, but it would fill me.
You ate it and you loved it. So it's always your turn to talk on our show, 801-575-7668. Andrew, let's turn to the Facebook comments. What are our friends on Facebook saying about this tax increase proposal?
Yeah, here's one that stood out to me. This person said, those that are on a minimum wage, hourly wage, or fixed income will be hit the hardest. They are already paying a minimal tax rate, so a tax cut won't do anything for them. Adding taxes to food and or fuel will simply put them even further under. This doesn't make any sense, they say.
The regressive tax. That's what we've heard for a long time. And though I'm sensitive to that, I understand that there are people that are really struggling paycheck to paycheck. And they look at 3% on their food, and then also it's going to be on your streaming services and your cell phone. I think you're already paying it for that, but maybe your haircuts. It doesn't stop just at your food. So I understand that anytime we raise taxes, it's going to be for everybody. And it won't be just that $180 a month.
And turning now to the Utah Community Credit Union text line, this listener brings up a really interesting and intriguing point. What about cutting the governor's salary, cutting state employees' wages, laying off redundant positions as part of a savings plan for the state? And I don't know how, I'm not one that happens to think the governor makes a lot of money for the number of hours he puts in or she puts in. And a lot of state employees are not getting rich on their jobs. And they do have a good pension, but they do have to sit in that position for 30 years to earn it.
Yeah. And if you look at our lawmakers, they're part-time. This is not a full-time legislature. They're working a very part-time schedule, even though if you were to ask any of them, it feels anything but part-time. The key to taxes, and again, we all hate taxes, is everybody has to have some skin in the game. It's the widow's mite approach. Everyone needs to give just a little bit because I think if you just start, broad brushstroke clearing out for people, then you whittle it down and whittle it down with your charity to the point where you don't have enough money to run the bare essentials.
About a decade ago or so, the legislature decided to cut the grocery tax. It's down to about 1.75% on food. Now, if you're going through the line and you're buying, as Senator Wyler said in the last segment, tied with bleach, of course it's tied with or without bleach, you're going to be paying more on that right now. You're already being taxed on that. Well, they're just going to raise up the taxes so you get taxed on food as well at a higher rate. It's going to be almost 5%. And I know Andrew's got a couple more comments there, Dave.
Yeah, the number one that stood out to me was this person says, how about we just cut taxes and make the government spend less? Along the same line of thinking that you were just talking about, Dave.
Yeah, I like that. Debbie, you said something that really stood out to me. Think of it this way. It's amazing. We say raise taxes or lower taxes. We have an instant feeling towards something. But if the government said, I'm going to give you $3 a week, Debbie, $3 in cash for your groceries, you would laugh out loud. And don't tell me you wouldn't. If the government said, I have a brand new program set up just for you guys, I'm going to give you $3 to help out with groceries, you would laugh at them and say, that's ridiculous. But you turn that around and say, I'm going to tax you $3 extra a week. Now, all of a sudden, the world's ending and everybody hates everybody else. Okay? Let's not lose sight. It's $3. It's $3 a week. If that's going to bring in $250 million for the state, that sounds pretty fair to me.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.